This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. It's said that women feed Africa, but they continue to have restricted access to land, and how conflict is forcing children to take on parental roles. But first, South Sudan's government is responsible for horrendous human rights violations, which include a so-called scorched earth policy against civilians, involving rape and murder, the UN has said. In a report published by the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, investigators recorded more than 1,300 rapes in one state over a five-month period. The country has been split by civil war since December 2013, and now UN agencies have expressed renewed alarm about the dire humanitarian situation there. Daniel Johnson reports from Geneva.
In a disturbing new report from the UN Human Rights Office into South Sudan, details have emerged of rape, gang rape, murder and extreme violence perpetrated by groups allied to the government. State-backed groups of youths are blamed for what investigators have called a do-what-you-can-and-take-what-you-can tactic, although opposition forces and criminal gangs are also found to be responsible for preying on women and girls. Responding to the report, UN Human Rights Commissioner Zayd Raad al-Hussein called the situation in South Sudan one of the most horrendous in the world. Since the outbreak of the crisis in December 2013, more than 2 million South Sudanese have been displaced and tens of thousands of people have been killed. Here's Cécile Pouilly from the UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR.
It's a really awful situation taking place there. For instance, one woman told us that she was naked and raped by five soldiers in front of her children, and then raped again by more men in the bushes. And then when she returned, her children had gone missing.
The report covers a four-month period to January this year and notes that the killings, sexual violence, displacement, destruction and looting that marked the conflict in 2014 carried on in 2015. The overwhelming majority of civilian casualties are the result of deliberate attacks. This includes one incident in which 60 cattle herders suffocated after being held in a container by government forces. Several witnesses are said to have confirmed the story. Also in the report are details about communities who were subject to repeated and vicious attacks by government and opposition forces who occupied towns, withdrew and then counterattacked. The apparently deliberate ethnic nature of the attacks is also identified in the report, in Unity State and Upper Nile States, along with Western and Central Equatoria, where the conflict has spread. UN agencies have raised the alarm about the increasingly dire humanitarian situation in the country, where more than 166,000 children are severely malnourished, according to UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. One of the investigators who published the report, David Marshall, confirmed the terror felt by victims of the violence. He said that those responsible had to be brought to justice, but this is not going to be easy.
The reality is that can't happen, given that the machinery of violence is basically the state. The state, both the military arm of the state and the civilian leadership, is part and parcel of the problem. They are orchestrating the violence against their own civilians. And it's clear to us that you're either a loyalist or you're not. And if you're not, you're in peril of harassment, detention, rape, abduction, death.
Repeating this call for accountability, the UN report recommends the establishment of a special court to rule on abuses, a transitional government, and considering an extension on sanctions on the country. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Women are the main producers of food in Africa, but continue to have problems accessing land that's typically owned by men. That's according to the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. The UN agency has recently launched a partnership with ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, which is focusing on addressing gender disparities in the farming sector. Taku Ndayaye is a senior gender officer at FAO based in Accra, Ghana. She's been in New York for the 60th session of the Commission on the Status of Women. Tige Shifiro asked her why there is a need to empower women in agriculture.
You know, everybody would tell you that women feed Africa, women feed ECOWAS. I think that's rhetoric. Everybody agrees that women's role in agriculture, not only in terms of production, but also in value chain developments in agro industries, is crucial. in terms of production, but also agro-processing. We also know that women are the frontline nutrition caregivers in the families and the communities. We also know that women's role in curbing child malnutrition and hunger is tremendous. So everybody agrees on women's contribution. But when it comes to looking at the benefits, that's where we have huge issues with women accessing a very small proportion of land. So land rights for women is still an issue. Access to finance is still a huge issue.
Like her credit in banks?
Yes, because obviously there's a strong relationship between land rights and accessing credits, substantial credits from commercial banks. Because if you don't have a land title, it's a lot more difficult for you to secure such type of loans. There are also serious disparities when it comes to business development opportunities along agricultural value chains, but also access to decent paid employment, participation in the governance decision-making structures, whether it's the rural institutions, the local level institutions, land allocation committees, and so on. So a lot of disparities between what women contribute and what they get. Those disparities contribute very much in keeping women's productivity lower.
So what does your plan, what does this cooperation between ECOWAS and FAO imply in a concrete manner?
I think we all agree that we have to change the narrative. It's no longer just looking at women's issues in terms of women's issues, women's rights issues. It's about looking at gender disparities in the agricultural sector.
Children from South Sudan have had to take on adult responsibilities in refugee camps, according to the United Nations. Many who have fled to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, have lost their parents in the civil conflict that has beset the country over the past 2 years. The UN estimates that 2.3 million people have been driven from South Sudan during that time. Janie Kangelosi has the story of one young boy who now lives in a camp in the DRC.
Emmanuel Mbori Idi is only 16 years old, but he is the primary caregiver to his six younger sisters. The children were forced from their village in South Sudan when it was invaded by gunmen last December.
There were looting of people's properties, killing, raping, burning of houses. All this I witnessed with my eyes.
Emmanuel lost his mother in the violence and does not know the fate of his father.
As I'm speaking now, I can feel like crying, but as I'm a man, I cannot cry because my mother was shot and my father has left us to come here and went back. We don't know where he is now.
In South Sudan, boys were taken from their beds at night and girls were not spared either. Victoria Midi is Emmanuel's sister.
These guys in the bush, they came arresting girls, going with them to the bush. And if they arrest you, you go there cooking for them, they turn you as your wife. And if you refuse to do such, they will shoot you dead.
In neighboring Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, strangers have taken whole families of South Sudanese children into their homes, while the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, and the Congolese authorities are registering new refugees as quickly as they can. It's the first step towards getting people the help that they desperately need. Jocelyn Midaje is just one of the UNHCR protection officers working in the refugee camps.
These are really harsh conditions for these people, and I think in terms of shelter, food and medicine, we need to intervene very quickly.
But the refugee children have little hope of returning home. Here's 16-year-old Emmanuel once again.
I don't think peace can come now to our country because most of the children have been taken to the forest and their fathers are even in sorrow for their children.
The conflict has required refugee children to grow up far too quickly, but playing a game of football, Emmanuel proves that there is always time to have a little fun. Janie Kangelosi, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.